When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You hear me?
Yeah.
Check.
You sound like you're coming through your computer, which is fine.
What I'm worried about.
It don't matter that much.
Matters to me, man.
Listen, audio quality is not important to this Neil Young podcast. We don't care about audio quality. Would Neil care about audio quality?
If we could, we would record this podcast in Jack White's Recordogram box booth.
Recordogram. That's the best Mike seasoned radio personality can come up with is Recordogram box.
I was trying to think of the real name. It's got something like that, right?
It's probably not far off.
It's not far off.
Makes it more real when it sounds like it's, you know, recorded from a mic just hanging in the room, just like Robert Johnson did it back in the day.
Ooh, the devil loved Robert Johnson.
He did.
So I've heard.
He did. Robert Johnson loved his whores. Loved them.
You know what else the devil loved?
Hmm.
The movie Paradox.
Devil loves the movie Paradox because it confuses humanity.
It's confusing and delightful and fascinating and literally everything I thought it would be.
This movie is made for high dosage edibles. That's what this movie's for.
I wish I had done edibles before I ate this. Russ left and he's coming back.
Russ Mike, hates this movie so much he left in the first 30 seconds.
I bet you Russ loves this movie. We'll get into it, obviously, but you know, before I hit the theme song, Mike, we played Strange Creek. You'll appreciate
this Greenfield? Story.
Out in Greenfield. Killer set. Yeah. We all wore jorts and no shirts. It was tons of fun.
You fit right in. You just kind of breezed up out of the crowd. They didn't even know you were in the band.
We murdered. People were going nuts. We called ourselves Jorts Meeting. It was a ton of fun. Anyway, the closer, it was the last night. And so the final act was a band called The Machine. Yeah. Have you heard them or heard of them?
Are they the Pink Floyd tribute band?
Yes. And they are. Oh, my internet's being weird. They are fucking incredible. Like, out of control.
They sound great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So about...
The last time I saw them was a long time ago, so I'm glad they're still good.
Oh, they're incredible. They had the lights were really good. Shout out to Strange Creek or Wormtown, whichever one this was, for, like, killing it. But about an hour before they went on, I popped an edible.
Okay, mm-hmm. Sweet.
Yeah, you sound better there, Russ.
All right, nice.
I popped a half of a... I think it was like a 90 milligram. So it was about 45, thinking this will be a real nice.
90?
Yeah, it was a 90. I popped half of it.
Oh, okay, half.
Yeah.
Still, that's so, 45. That's still pretty, a lot.
We're staying there that night. I'm
right.
Thinking
you're not
it's
going
to be
anywhere.
Not going anywhere. It's going to be a...
You're in a field in Franklin County. Who cares?
Yeah. An hour goes by. They start the show. They start with... a good 15-minute Shine On You Crazy Diamond. Mm. Like, so fucking good.
Yeah.
I keep waiting. You know, then they go to this song, to that song. They did Breathe. They did they were great, but another hour goes by. Nothing. Just starting to feel tired. My legs start hurting. And then finally, about, I don't know, maybe a half an hour before this set was done, I'm just like, maybe it was CBD. Nothing happened. So I just went to my tent and went to bed. I was so mad.
Oh, no.
Has that ever happened to you?
Oh, no. Maybe it was CBD.
I don't think so because I gave other people stuff from the same packet, and they're like, that was definitely not CBD.
Were you consuming CBD beforehand?
No, just alcohol. Copious amounts of alcohol. But
jeez. Maybe that was it. Maybe you were so drunk you didn't even notice.
I wasn't that drunk.
You were pretty drunk.
I was pretty drunk, but I wasn't as drunk as you've seen me.
You weren't as drunk as I've ever seen you, but you were still drunk.
I was drunk, but at that point I had actually stopped drinking. I was just annoyed. I think maybe I got a dud piece. Does that happen?
It happens.
Yeah, I think I got a dud piece.
You know, like anything else. Or it's, where did you get it from?
From a vendor.
Oh, from a vendor there?
Yes, a wonderful woman was giving away samples. Well, she gave us some samples because we were in a band.
I think you got duds.
I think you got ripped.
Are you saying a woman with no shirt on and just taped X's over her nipples gave me false edibles?
Yes.
That did not happen.
Absolutely.
This is our Neil Young podcast, where we mostly talk out of our ass while going through the works of Mr. Young. It's Mike Hsu and the Condon Boys, Trans and Harvest and Linois. We're gonna sit and listen to each one.
Thank you for listening to Long May You Young, the one of two Neil Young podcasts on the planet that is still operating, the other being Don't Be Denied. And if you know French, you'll probably really enjoy that one, too.
We need to have Joel back on, I feel like.
Joel ran. Did Joel run with the Better Call Stills?
I think John Locke did that. Somebody made a Better Call Stills thing.
What was the one Joel just put up?
I think it was the Stranger Things.
Girl with the Walkman, and she threw in American Stars and Bars.
Are you guys caught up on Stranger Things? Not that we need to go
I'm
down
done,
this
yeah. I'm done yeah, with I this first it. Half of this last season.
It's
awesome.
Every season, I'm like, I'm not going to watch. This is going to be dumb. And then I'm like, this show rules.
This is the best one. Yeah. It's the scariest.
This is my favorite, I think.
Same.
So far.
It's great. Yeah. It's so good.
Super scary. And Ed Munson.
Yeah, they like really kicked up the horror.
Well, I think that's they were going for the 80s horror trope. Like, they did 80s sci-fi. They did all the other 80s stuff. Now they're trying, like, fucking, what's the Freddy Krueger? What's his name? He was fucking in this season.
Robert England.
Yeah. That's the ultimate tribute right there.
That's awesome.
There's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of Halloween. And
he did a great job, too. I thought he was awesome.
Yeah, he was great. He was great. I love Eddie Munson, man. That was me cool in high school. Eddie Munson was me in high school.
Were you a DM?
No, I was. I played Dungeons and Dragons maybe twice.
Okay,
but
I was gonna say
totally
you don't really
like,
strike me as the D&D type. Really?
Nah, it was. Yeah, I tried it. It was okay, but it was just like I was the whole like fucking metal rules. It's not satanic. You fucking people are fucking bullshit, man. Everything's bullshit. I love him. He's so awesome.
That's right.
Fantastic. That's great. Yeah. It's good. It's it's on Netflix, which is where another movie is right now.
Segway.
These segways are great today.
I think we're kind of killing the segways.
Yeah, the segways are awesome.
Hey, Daryl, they're killing the segways.
I'm guessing you didn't get Daryl to come on.
Not yet, but you never know what's going to happen. With this, I feel like we're going to talk about Paradox a bit. I've been chatting with Adam Volek, who's the cinematographer for Paradox. We talked to him about Linois. I really want to talk to him about this movie and about other stuff, but he's super busy. He's got an infant, there's a chance we could talk to Daryl. Who knows? This is the podcast of limitless possibilities.
If we talk to Daryl, how long before Mike asks how she feels about getting her butt wiped out on Disney Plus?
What?
Yeah, right. That'd be right up front.
Her butt wiped out.
And then after
what is
that,
this?
I'd ask.
Well, no, what they do? Question, they CG'd hair over it or something, didn't they?
Yeah.
Oh, for Splash.
Yeah.
Oh, that's dumb.
And then after that, I'd ask nothing but Pope or Greenwich Village questions.
I would ask strictly grumpy old men. No, grumpier old men questions.
What if she Billy Bob Thornton'd us and was like, "Oh, I only will answer questions about Paradox." That's fine. I have a ton of questions about Paradox.
It doesn't stop us from asking other questions. She just won't answer them.
You wouldn't want to know about Burgess Meredith in Grumpier Old Men.
Yeah. I want to know what Mickey Rourke smelled like back in the day before he got all bloated.
She's on another Netflix show that I really liked. I forget what it was called. It was by the same...
Sense8.
Sense8.
Yeah, Sense8 was awesome.
That was the Matrix people.
Daryl has a really, really good, like, fucking filmography. I mean, she's kind of done a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
It's great.
I mean,
did you see that?
I did not see Sense8.
No, I like
Sense8 was good. It was Lost-ish. if I remember.
Yeah, it was kind of like OA-ish, too.
OA-ish, that's, yeah.
Did you see OA?
No, I didn't see OA.
Those are some good shows, man. OA's great.
I'm too busy right now watching Outer Range.
I gotta pop back in.
You're welcome, boys.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I'm totally hooked. I'm like 5 or 6 episodes in. I still don't know what the fuck's going on.
Yeah, well, I mean, yeah.
Yeah, don't even tell me.
Don't say anything.
I won't. Anything.
But
plus the boys is back.
So I know. I gotta watch the boys.
In the first 10 minutes of the first episode of this season, it is one of the most disturbing death scenes I've ever seen. And I'm pretty sure nobody has ever done a death scene like
it
this.
It was
ever.
Fucking.
Wait, are you talking about the boys? Yeah. I haven't seen.
I'm talking about Termite.
Don't say anything.
Yeah, don't say anything. Mike, I know what you're talking about.
It is like...
It's wonderful.
Whoever came up with that idea should not only get a bonus, but should be put away.
Yeah,
they do some nuts. They've always done some crazy deaths.
Yeah, but this is the most nuts thing.
All right. I'm looking forward to it.
Even...
Nice, Mike. Nice one. I heard that.
It's not as nuts as Homelander making... Or that guy, what was his name? Doppelganger, turning himself into Homelander...
Oh, yeah.
Giving Homelander a blowjob and saying it's not gay if it's yourself. That's still the most fucked up thing.
Russ,
I've seen on the
watch
boys.
It tonight and then text our group chat because it's fantastic.
You won't wait long for it. It happens right up front.
No, I'll watch it. There's so many fucking shows right now, man. I'm trying to. All I really want out of all the shows I'm watching, I just want Better Call Saul to come back.
I know, right?
I'm like, why do we have to do the break thing? I don't want to do the break thing.
Do you guys watch Barry?
Yeah.
I haven't started the new season yet.
Oh, my God.
It's a good season.
Well, so this is actually a good conversation.
I'm also watching Hacks, too. Have you guys seen Hacks?
No,
I'm about to finish Atlanta, which is also just like...
I got to pick back up on Atlanta.
Donald Glover is just a fucking genius.
Yeah, he's so good. No, this is good, though, because I actually wanted to talk about this in relation to Paradox. So I am watching all these incredible shows with huge budgets and Stranger Things and Better Call Saul, the best writers on the planet, some of the best actors on the planet. The stories are, like, incredibly cohesive, just, like, really satisfying. And so I went into this... not really knowing what to expect. And this is the opposite of all of that. I'm not saying that that these people aren't talented. Clearly they're very talented, but the feel is different. I really didn't think I was going to enjoy this.
I was going to say, I almost feel like for those reasons, this was refreshing.
Okay.
Because I've gotten so much of the like high production, you know, like the incredible writing, the like story, unlike with Stranger Things, even though there was multiple plots happening, it was still like a structured,
right?
You know, it wasn't just like, you know, all of a sudden Neil Young saying full corn moon, you know, like
he loved the full corn moon.
He did, man. He loved that corn moon. And like, or just, you know, Tato taking a bath or whatever, you know, like just all the crazy,
it's some fucking like, full frontal nudity.
Yeah. Something about it was like actually. Yeah, I feel the same. Like I almost went into it being like, I'm probably not going to enjoy this at all.
Same.
And I ended up like really, ended up really enjoying
it. So can I just tell you my initial like, cause Russ, I feel the same way. And initially I'm like, I don't know if I can watch this right now because I'm rewatching Breaking Bad. Like I said, these structured shows and it starts off like a cloud, like a chaotic cloud. And then it starts to focus more. And then when you see what it is, right around the time they go to, was it Desert Trip, Mike, that where they do the Cowgirl Jam?
Yep.
Right around that time, I'm like, all right, I'm into this. And now I'm like fucking way into this. And I feel like I want to go back and watch it several more times because, as we know, Neil Young is a time-traveling vampire. I think he made this movie for us. I'm not going to lie to you. I think he made this
for
movie
us for specifically? Us.
Yes, yeah, for the three of us.
For the hosts of the podcast that would eventually.
There's so many weird little...
I'm so curious what Shu has to say, though. He's just sitting there, and I feel like we're about to get a snake bite.
We're going to get a snake bite? A classic Shu snake
bite?
I think
we're going to get a Shu snake bite here, man.
Oh, no.
You know, it's there's some parts of it that are beautifully filmed.
Yeah.
I think they film it in Colorado.
I think they must have.
There's some scenes that are just gorgeous. Like Daryl Hannah could definitely have a career as like a wildlife or nature documentarian.
Oh yeah,
because it's just beautiful. And Adam Volek did the cinematography too, right?
Yep.
And so he did a great job too. And it's just beautiful. I don't know if I've watched it twice.
Okay.
And I don't think I'll ever go back to it. I don't know. You know, there's one part of it that I could watch over and over again.
That's the
all
nudity,
day long.
Right?
The full frontal nudity?
Yeah, when the guy rolls that giant rock and then wags his balls next to the river. I mean, I just kept pausing it and rewinding it and pausing it and then, you know, just
trying to zoom in as best
taking in his unshaved genitalia.
He doesn't have our Manscaped code.
It got to be annoying at times. And then I love the cowgirl jam.
Yes.
Why did that happen?
Right.
Like, did he like get off the train or the wagon and go into the middle of the desert where there were thousands of people? And that was beautifully filmed too. The way
Holy
she
shit.
Would incorporate like the teepee in there. Mm-hmm. And then like with the jumbo screen in the back, and you see like Neil soloing like a motherfucker. And it looked like he was a god soloing over like a Native American village. And it looked pretty cool.
Also, like, how did they the whole, like the rope thing during that concert? Cause like you could see the dudes like flying.
No, the cowgirl was the different one. The cowgirl was...
Oh, I know, but you could still...
No, but during cowgirl, there were people going in the air.
There were?
Yeah.
They could probably... I'm sure there was some trickery they could do with
Put
that.
Put it in post or something. You know? Yeah.
They were all pointing at the moon at one point. I don't know if that was recreated for the film.
Actually, Daryl's a witch. She's bewitched him.
She's a time-traveling witch.
Well, no, that was the stuff
Dumbasses.
I was...
Dumbasses.
Daryl's Wanda.
That's the stuff I was. That's the stuff I was wondering. was like, did they storyboard that out and plan for during that show? Like, we're gonna point at the moon, and that's part of this project. Or
Russ, there to me, it was pretty obvious. There were no storyboards.
It did not feel like a storyboard.
There was very little planning. There probably wasn't anything written out as far as dialogue goes. They probably just said, just talk.
Right.
You know, and those guys had been on the road together at this point for a little while, so they were all familiar with each other.
The feel, especially in the beginning, was like, hey, guys, let's like dress up as cowboys and get high as hell and just have a fucking blast.
Yeah, that's what it was. It was with beautiful scenery in the background and a loose story that kind of goes along with, you know, what the last few albums were about, the stealing the seeds and. Right. And where your food comes from, you know, that whole part about, you know, cooking varmint, you know, it's important to know where your food, what your food was and where it comes from. And, you know, so that those messages are through the whole thing. It's very much like Journey Through the Past, where it's just like clips that were like just patched together and different filters and films. It would go from like a full on HD to like some kind of 8mm film. It just kind of got annoying after a while to me.
See, I got less annoyed. I got very annoyed initially and then got less annoyed as it went on. And here's why I say this is Neil. He's at this point in his weird time traveling time loop that he's on. He's listened to the podcast. He's already listened to episodes we haven't recorded yet. He knows, okay, so first of all, he knows we're King fans. So he decides to call himself the Man in the Black Hat, which is a huge King nod because the gunslinger, the man in black, all that stuff. So then he's like, okay, so this podcast, yeah, it's about me, but the other two things it's about are piss and shit. Or, I'm sorry, jizz and shit. They talk about jizz and shit all the time. So I'm going to throw in a bunch of shit jokes, literally have people taking a shit, making shit jokes. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to just have a bunch of shit about seed. There's going to be a seed bank, people spilling seed, throwing seed. I swear to God,
the women control the seed.
Yes,
right.
Yes,
yes.
So I'm just saying,
you can't not talk about the sexy train shots too. I mean, well, there are some really sexy train
shots. That's something I thought was disappointing was it was a whole 15 minutes before there were any trains in this film.
Yeah, because he makes you...
Yeah, but he, yeah, man, he, that was the foreplay. And he, and I mean, he does enter that train, and then he's in that train.
Because Neil's a train... He's train edging, Mike. Yeah, he's a train edgelord.
He's a train edgelord, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a lot of train porn in this. I don't know if you guys... And like 5 minutes...
Dude, there's train
in,
underskirt.
The first bird was like less than 5 minutes in. Yeah. You know? It was he like was that. It, and that was, a, that, little, was that was a lift right from Beautiful Bluebird from Chrome Dreams 2. It was a blue bird sitting on a fence.
Ah.
And I was like, oh yeah, Beautiful Bluebird. Okay, I get it. It just seemed to, you know, and I know this is the style, and I know what you guys are saying. This is exactly what Neil and maybe Daryl were going for, the exact opposite of Stranger Things. Right. Or the exact opposite of a concert film, you know, or,
right.
Or, you know, something a musical artist would, a film a musical artist would make. This is the opposite of that.
Yeah. It's kind of like, and we're, it, I mean, it's sort of stream of consciousness in a way.
Very well. Yeah. But the, it had the themes were pretty.
Well, yeah. Consistent. Cause in that opening line, that's, it's kind of all there.
Well, right. It fits into no box, like you said, Mike. It's not really a music film. Like, it's not necessarily a narrative. It's not this. It's not that. But it's, if it's anything, it's very Neil. Do you know what I mean?
Oh yeah, absolutely. Does it work? Is it good? That's, to me, that's still up for debate. It's exactly what Neil probably wanted, and Daryl delivered it for him. Is this, you know, complete reaction to a slick concert film. And he's made those. He made those with Jonathan Demme, right? He made those three concert films, which were beautifully filmed, you know, multi-camera, you know, great sound. And this was like, it was almost like a 90-minute music video. You know what I mean? Music videos don't have to make sense. You get quick edits. You know, as long as you get a good look at the band and there's maybe a loose concept in there. And that's what it was like to me. It was just this music video that had the theme of, you know, saving the planet and, you know, and had this road warrior, you know, Mad Max thing, because this was obviously after something happened to civilization and they were digging up phones and keyboards and computers and things like that.
I took a lot of that to be like Neil... I mean, Neil loves like old audio, old video, old like older technology, and I think I took that as that. I don't know. I think he
may have filmed this in the future.
That's also very possible.
Yeah, he may have gone into the future with a film crew with Daryl, and filmed what it was like in the future.
And then maybe he went into the past, and maybe Micah isn't. I'm sorry, not Micah. Maybe Lucas is actually young Willie.
And he sounds like it.
Well, when he sings Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground.
Holy shit, is that good.
That's really good.
That's the part of the film I was talking about I could watch over and over again.
Yeah, I can watch that
If I go back to this film, it will only be that part.
Yeah.
Cowgirl goes right into that.
Yeah, but you know what? Cowgirl was good.
But I want them to sing it. I want him to sing the song too,
but you know, and Lucas's guitar solo in that was pretty fucking
unbelievable,
amazing.
Amazing.
That Angel Flying Too Close to the Ground, it's not Neil's song. He's not singing it, and it may be one of his finest recorded moments in his history as an artist.
Yeah.
To me, it's one of the most beautiful things I've ever seen and heard as far as music goes. You can't recreate a vibe like that. No. And that wouldn't have happened without Neil. He got them all together, you know, and Daryl probably set it up with the fire and the candles and everything. And they were probably just sitting around smoking weed and they just kind of rolled into that song.
I bet it just kind of happened naturally. Because Neil reacted to it in a way that was like, oh, that was beautiful.
Yeah,
like,
that was nice.
Mike, you're half right. They weren't smoking weed. They were sipping a joint and smoking
a beer.
Yeah. Also, to go back to what both of you were just talking about between the future and the past, He's fucking with us. It's right in the opening of this movie. The first line, the first thing you hear is many moons ago in the future. So he's telling us right there.
Yeah,
I'm in the past and I'm in the future.
He's just screaming it at us.
Yeah, right. He's rubbing it in our faces.
It's getting out of control at this
point. He throws it out there and makes it so obvious. And people go, oh, Neil, he's just a weirdo. No, he's a time-traveling vampire.
Yeah.
And Daryl is a time-traveling witch who comes along beside him.
With a camera.
Yep.
Yeah.
Now I want to get in-depth in her movies a little bit and feel like, what is she trying to tell us?
I don't really know. There shouldn't be a structure about this in particular project because trying to go through this.
No, and we don't have to
kind of defeat the purpose, but I'm just going to go through my notes if you guys, and then I don't know if you guys want to do the same.
No, so just a few quick things before you do that. I forgot to put this on social medias, but we're going to talk more about Paradox. I think we're hoping to talk to Adam soon. But just real quick, I want to throw out a quick shameless plug. Town Meeting is playing next week. We're in Philly at Attic Brewery. We're at DC at a place called The Pocket. We're in New York City at Rockwood Music Hall. We're in Connecticut at the Stomping Ground. We're in Boston at Brighton Music Hall. We're in Portland at Portland House of Music. We're all the way up in Burlington, Vermont at Foam Brewers. Please look us up. Get tickets. If you just look us up on Facebook, you'll find links to all these things. We're really trying to come out of this pandemic and have some good shows. So come out to these shows if you're in the Philly area or the DC area. Also, thanks to our patrons, especially our top tier patrons, John Locke, Mark Ray, and of course, Craig Bitch. We appreciate all you guys. We're entering the summer, so, you know, things are getting a little weirder. And if this episode comes out a little later than we're expecting, it's because Pantheon, our network, is moving away from one platform to the next, so I'm trying to figure that out now. So I apologize if this is a little bit later. That's why we didn't post anything on socials, because I wasn't sure when this was coming out. So anyway, sorry, Russ, your notes. Go.
Oh, that's fine. Also, the Town Meeting album is out, if people want to listen to that.
Yes, on streaming everywhere.
And if people want to hear my album early, I'll be posting about that because it's done. I wrote down the whole he can be kind of shaky thing. That was a little
like that.
Right.
There was some pretty on the nose things. I also wrote that the cinematography, the scenery, just like the camera work in general, some of it was just like strikingly gorgeous. Like you were saying, Shu, some of those moments were really beautiful. The nice sexy train shots.
Do you think, Russ, that he wasn't planning on the train shots and Daryl like slipped him in? So then when he watched it and it was like a surprise train 15 minutes in and it really got the juices flowing.
Oh yeah. He's probably like, Daryl, great job on the train.
And she's like, I'm right next to you.
Yeah. And then next thing you hear is the opening chords to what was it? Carnival or whatever? Carnival.
And then stop. You know. Stop.
I also, in the same kind of spirit there, I also wrote how great were those zoom in close ups of Neil.
Neil's got to trim those brows. Yeah, I know he's trying to keep it real, Daryl should get in there and say, Neil.
Yeah,
we got to do something about this.
Neil, just let me pluck a couple of those. They're really wiry.
I love that there was
Brezhnev.
I love that it was a zoom in close up of Neil and then right cut to the train. I wrote that was definitely intentional. That's digging
Freudian
song
right there with Daryl directing. That's totally Freudian.
Oh yeah, the digging song. That was too short. Yeah, I like the digging
song. I love that version.
Digging
but it's
in
only
dirt.
Like 60 seconds long.
Yeah.
That could have gone on for a little longer.
I just wrote that it was it's really sloppy, but it's like kind of fun at parts. Anthony and the whole Anthony who we interviewed as Happy taking the shit with the other guy. I like the whole dude's right. floating away with the rope because of the music.
At first,
like,
I didn't know what they were doing because cool. the cool guy idea, handcuffed like himself. I thought it was yeah. going to be some kind of protest, right. you know, but then, I
liked the mystery of it. I liked that it was like, oh, okay, so like the music is what's making this happen. I dig that.
Right.
Which, again, that's in that opening line. The opening line of the whole movie, the like little poem thing, many moons ago in the future when the women folk had rightfully just about given up on us, a mangy group of outlaws hid out by a precious water source while the real bad guys quietly stole the seeds of life. Thankfully, music still helped our spirits fly. So like the whole movie, everything that happens essentially is in that opening little stanza thing. And I dug that. The full corn moon thing, the Lucas solo is amazing. I love that Willie didn't know what to do with the camera on his face. He was like kind of nervously looking around.
He was stoned.
Yeah, dude. He was
Willie Nelson was stoned?
Willie smokes weed. I don't know if you guys know that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I don't support that.
He takes pot all the time.
Also, back to like some of the really nice cinematography, the scene after Willie and Neil rob the seed bank or whatever, which is a fun sentence to say, when Neil's walking away with his bag of seed, he's like kind of behind the building, like walking towards the landscape. It's a gorgeous shot.
Yeah.
You know the one I'm referring to?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
fucking, it's
and there's a lot of that all through this. Just beautiful shots.
Really,
of,
really
of
beautiful.
The landscape and wildlife shots.
Yeah. And then my last sort of thing was just how Angel flying too close to the ground is just, I mean, it's just way too perfect.
It's
beautiful.
It's bothersome ridiculous. How good it shouldn't, it just feels like so good. It's out of place. I don't know how to say it. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Yeah. That with the fire, you know, it was just perfect. And I don't know if you noticed, I think they animated the fire a little bit.
Really?
Like, I think they tried to make some of the flames look like birds. If you watch that scene again, some of the fire looks like it was animated to make it kind of extend a little more.
I think Neil got in you. He got in there, man. Now you're just seeing birds. You're just seeing birds now.
You know, man. That's
We just see a train, like Inception style, go through the background of Mike Shue's house right now.
So one of my notes was, and I should have looked this up, what album was Love and Only Love originally on?
Ragged Glory.
Ragged Glory, like, one of my favorites.
I think Neil keeps coming back to that a lot. And I feel I feel like that's important. I don't know why I'm saying this. Like, this movie is a movie I need to decipher. I really, you know what I want to do? So I watched it. Mike, you said you probably won't revisit it. I will revisit this after I get an edible that's not a dud. I'm definitely going to do that because I want to watch this high and just see what messages Neil is sending to me. Like, for you, it's birds in the fire. Who knows what things will be in the fire when I watch it? I don't know.
Yeah, it'll be cocks and balls and cum.
You're saying chickens and basketballs?
Yeah.
No, that's dumb.
That's what I'm saying.
Whatever. All right. No, I didn't take a ton of notes. The cowgirl and the sand jam to me made me think two things. A, first I said I wish I could have been at that concert because that looked fucking insane.
How many people was that? Jesus.
It was a lot.
Was that where they have Coachella?
It was
the giant polo grounds area.
They call it Old Cella.
Old Cella. Yeah. I remember that because it was like who played? It was like Roger Waters and.
Oh my God. That's
it was all the like
so
classic
good.
Rock people, you know, Fleetwood Mac, I think played and stuff. So they called it Old Cella.
Speaking of Old Cella, Russ, how was Ringo?
Did you go see Ringo?
Yeah, it was great. Actually.
Nice.
It was a really good show. His band is amazing, dude. I mean,
yeah.
Edgar Winter is fucking unbelievable.
They play Frankenstein.
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
And Colin Hay, I honestly just wanted Colin Hay to play the whole set because
if you ever get a chance to see Colin Hay solo,
I've seen him solo.
Amazing.
He rips
fantastic.
Your soul out.
Yeah,
he's unbelievable.
He's so good.
He's so good. Yeah, but he did.
I like sleeping with Marie.
Yeah, he didn't do any of his solo stuff, but I mean, just hearing like Who Can It Be Now, and obviously Down, you know,
Man Down Under.
Yeah, those were,
you know, great. What that song's about.
Sorry.
But there was this other guy.
Biting the bullet.
There was this other guy who was amazing, too. And then the guy from Average White Band or whatever.
Oh, Hamish Stewart?
Yeah, yeah. He was great. It was just a really good band.
That's
was,
weird. He's playing with him, and he's usually plays with McCartney. That's
oh, really?
Weird. He's with Ringo now. McCartney's playing at Fenway tonight.
Oh, it's tonight McCartney's at Fenway?
Yeah,
on the Baby Got Back tour or whatever weird thing he's calling it?
He's not. Is he calling it that?
I think it's called like McCartney.
No, it's the Got Back tour. Baby Got Back tour.
It's the same thing. McCartney got back.
Don't want none unless I got buns, hon.
I like big butts and I cannot lie. The other brothers can't deny. When a girl walks in with an itty bitty thing and a round thing in your face, you get sprung.
She comes in with a plump rumpus and, you know, you just want to kind of do a tuckus. You know.
We're doing the doodle-a-doo. I just love Dana Carvey's impression of Paul McCartney. It's so good.
Oh my God. Look at her butt.
Oh, sorry. We can just stop this now. But he's calling it the McCartney Got Back Tour. He knows what he's doing. He knows exactly what he's doing.
McCartney got back. He got some Brazilian butt implants for the tour. Yeah.
There's a fucking meme.
Hey, it's not implants.
There you go, Joel. Run with that. Paul McCartney, butt implants.
Please don't.
I want a meme of Paul McCartney balancing a bottle of champagne on the top of his ass.
Joel, I beg you on your Neil Young meme page, do not further isolate your audience by creating a Paul McCartney with a big ass meme on a Neil Young page.
You take Cardi B's ass and you superimpose it over Paul McCartney's.
Cardi B's ass.
And then you put a bottle of Cristal balancing on the edge of it.
Please don't do that.
Do it. No, better yet, not a bottle of Cristal. Ringo's sitting on it as his throne playing drums.
He's playing McCartney's Cardi B ass cheeks like bongos. Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. All right,
this is still the Neil Young podcast.
This is still Neil Young podcast.
Paradox. What else?
Sorry, go ahead, Mike.
No, go ahead. If you're done with your notes or finish your notes.
Well, I mean, my biggest things were it felt like a mountaintop to me, very chaotic at the beginning, climaxed at the two live things where you have two Neil. And I think this is where the title of the film comes into play a little bit for me. And I know the film's all over the place, but it climaxes at the two music performances. I'm not talking about the Peace Trail. That was fine. But I'm talking about the crazy rock and roll cinnamon girl. I'm not cinnamon girl. Cowgirl jam. And then like following that almost immediately with the very acoustic, like heartbreaking Willie song. And I feel like this is, since the beginning we've talked about Neil's two personalities, how he can't not have both. He has to have the city Neil and country Neil. He has to have rock and roll Neil and acoustic Neil. And
he needs a crowd of people, but he can't face them day to day.
Yes. And I think he just found two perfect like glimpses of these things without, and not traditional, like you're like, oh, okay, acoustic Neil. Like, how about let's hear Neil play an old man? He doesn't do that. He has someone else play an acoustic song. I don't know. Like, I just fucking love Neil Young. I just fucking love him.
Really? We're only on episode, 90 That's something?
Who knows? But we're coming on year three of this nonsense.
Yes.
Yeah, aren't we like almost caught up too? We don't have many albums left, do we?
Yeah, almost.
Oh, don't worry. Neil will take care of that with Toast.
That's right, baby.
We should have Adam Morin on for Toast.
Is that the name of the next record?
Yeah, he's got a new record coming out with the boys, with the horse, and it's called Toast. And Adam Morin was in a band called Toast. For you new listeners, Adam Morin was one of our first commenters. And he made that. Remember the Crosby's Whalebone Comb website?
Oh yeah, that's right.
Did he make that?
Yeah. Good old Adam.
Oh my God!
If we get Adam CK Volek on, we can talk more about it as well.
Obviously. Yeah, this doesn't have to be a super long one. I mean, Mike, what did you have for notes?
I just I thought some of the scenes that stood out to me. Obviously, the angel flying too close to the ground. I loved. There was a very poignant scene of him playing guitar and Daryl was attached to him by a rope.
Yeah.
And she was flying in the
air. At the end, yeah.
I thought that was pretty sweet. That was cool. That was kind of a nice little love letter right there. This may be my favorite version of Pocahontas.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, that was from the same cowgirl
yeah,
show,
but
the desert trip.
He didn't finish it. They didn't do the Marlon Brando line.
Yeah. Or did he just leave it out?
I think he must have left it out or something.
Yeah, I love the pipe organ.
Yeah.
With Pocahontas.
The way he played it was really interesting, too. He was just like...
Yeah.
It's not my favorite, but I very much love this version a lot.
On the... I think it's the latest, or maybe it was last week. The Timeline Concert of the Week was crazy. If you guys haven't... If it's still up there, you got to listen to it. It's Crazy Horse 1996 in Europe. And it's like the Broken Arrow Tour. And it's so good. But they do an electric version of Pocahontas, and I wasn't too crazy about it.
Okay.
Like they did a full-on electric version of it, but this one I love. Just him in the pump organ there. That's fantastic. I love.
I feel
that.
Like I remember him doing that.
I feel like
when we saw him, Luke. Yeah.
I don't remember him doing. He did the pipe organ after the Gold Rush, but I don't think he did Pocahontas. Yeah. And that was incredible. But this was really, really good. But I still love the classic Pocahontas. It's still one of my favorite.
Yeah, that's great. But this one to me, I don't know. This had a quality to it. I think it was just, I like Neil solo with the organ.
Yeah. It's a good vibe. It's a cool vibe.
It has the Phantom of the Opera feel.
Yeah.
But it also, I don't know. It just has a charm to it that I just really love. You know, like that version of like a Hurricane that's on Unplugged. And,
yeah.
You know, I really love that stuff, man. That's good.
This project also made me realize I really like the album Peace Trail a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. I think we talked about how much we like Peace Trail.
We did. Yeah, we did. Absolutely. But I just, you know, just hearing some of the songs, I'm like, oh, it makes me want to go back and listen to that album again.
Yeah.
And that's about all I had. I just felt it was, I don't know. Maybe I'm just, I want something a little more cohesive. Like Human Highway was more cohesive, even though it was still weird. And it kind of did the
even
same,
Greendale was more cohesive.
It kind of did the same thing where right in the middle of the film, they went to a concert thing.
Right.
You know, remember that? He was like the rock star. He hit his head.
Yeah, Waterface.
It's right on Waterface. You know, and they did the whole, and they played stuff from Comes a Time. And, you know, so it's just kind of weird. They stuck that in the middle.
And then he was like on the road in the bus and visiting the Native American.
And then burning the wooden Indians and stuff. Yeah, and then he woke up and was like, woof.
Dennis Hopper was a fry cook. if Hopper was still alive, he'd be in this. You think it'd be his balls we'd see in the river?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. He would be doing that nude scene.
Yeah.
Hey, man, it's rock. Look at the rock roll. Get it, rock and roll, man.
Fucking coked out of his head.
Yeah,
my goodness. So I don't know. I mean, it's like you said. It's so Neil. Like what else would you expect, you know? And I understand what you're saying, Shu, like maybe something more cohesive, but also like, that's just not,
it's not him.
No, it's not Neil. And you're right. It's so Neil.
Even with his most popular album of all time, Harvest, it's not a cohesive album.
No, you're right. You're right. I just, you know just because it's so Neil to me doesn't mean it's
no,
like,
no,
great.
Yeah. Well, that's goes back to the argument you were making earlier. Is it true to Neil? Is it something that Neil wanted to do and he made it how he wanted to make it? And it's very Neil. Does that mean that it's, 100% great and everyone's going to like it, or that it's a good, that it's even, you know, are people going to think that it's good?
Right.
Or whatever, or be subjected.
You know, like, the critics just panned it all around.
Yeah.
I mean, I was reading some reviews and it was like 1 star, 1.5 stars. You guys know who Roger Ebert is, right?
Who's that? No,
Roger Ebert, one of the great American film critics. He used to do a show with another critic called Gene Siskel.
Really?
Those names sound okay.
Yeah, it was, what was that show
Something
called?
About like, was there, did they use their fingers for something?
I think they did too, like their ring fingers.
Thumbs up.
Oh, his thumbs. Oh, that's right.
Yeah, thumbs okay. up. So yeah, Roger right. Ebert writes, you know, he had
did he like give it
cancer
half a thumb?
Or something. He can't really talk now, but he writes, still writes. He had a great line here. He was like, this would be great on the midnight movie circuit. Alas, the midnight movie scene is practically dead, and it is therefore instead debuting on Netflix, which will at least make it more convenient for its target audience of young completists and people too stoned to make it out their front doors.
And you know what?
You know, that's what it is to me. It's like, if your only Neil Young exposure is Harvest, right? Or Neil Young's great, or Harvest Moon.
Yeah.
And then you watch this movie, you'd be like, what the fuck is this?
Well, hey,
I'm not saying that makes it bad, but I'm just saying this is a very, you know, only Neil Young fans would get this.
Well, hey, Roger Ebert, you're dead and Neil's still alive, so take that.
No, he's alive. He's
no,
still
I don't
alive.
Think he is. I think he's
both
dead.
Of them are dead. One of
are
them
they
lost
both dead?
One no. of them lost their jaw and then lost their life. That's
Roger
not nice.
Ebert
I'm
lost
just
his
fucking...
jaw, but I'm pretty sure he's
no. They're both dead. Dead. It's just Roper. It's just fucking the third one, probably trying to do some podcast about movies, and no one cares.
Yeah, he died in 2013.
Dead. Oh,
jeez, Mike, way to cling to the past.
Wait, so what were you reading from? Because this came out in 2019.
You just search reviews for it, and the
that
whole
must,
bunch come.
That
up.
Must have been Roper.
No, it must have been Roper. Yeah, who would have wrote
Ebert?
That?
Holy shit!
No, dude, Roger Ebert died in 2013.
Holy shit. Did Neil Young travel back in time to get Ebert's review of this, and then it killed Ebert?
Well, maybe it's just Ebert's sight.
Did this movie kill Ebert?
It may have.
Fuck Ebert.
This was... Oh, no. Ebert didn't write this. It was from his sight. This is Peter Zabzinski.
Oh, fuck him, too.
From Ebert's sight.
Russ, stop. Sorry. Please stop showing a big picture of Roger Ebert without his jaw, please.
Yeah, that fake jaw. That's
weird.
Like
it's very bizarre. Whoo. I don't like that.
Spooky stuff, man.
Yeah.
The fuck was I gonna say? I forgot because now Russ spooked me with Roger Ebert. So stop, please stop showing weird pictures of Roger Ebert.
Two thumbs up for my fake jaw.
Oh, this
we're
is what
we're horrible people.
This is what this
edgelords.
Is. Stop being edgelordy. This is what I wanted to say coming to the end of this episode. One of the few interviews Daryl did about this, she was like, don't over intellectualize this movie. It's just a movie we made. And here
right,
we
yeah.
are.
Well, we're just having, and I agree because, you know, there's shit jokes in it.
Yeah.
You know? So it's like, it doesn't take itself too seriously.
Yeah.
It still has those serious messages that.
How
Neil
good was
Anthony?
In
about.
It?
Yeah, I loved Anthony.
Yeah, it was great.
I loved Anthony. No, I agree. It also has the feel. Of only with, you know, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars more expensive camera equipment. But like back in high school, we used to have to do those like history projects and we'd have to reenact something. And so it was like a project where we would dress up in like Western or like Civil War garb and like film a scene, and that was like part of our project. That's what this type of thing reminded me of.
Yeah,
right.
Which is a very specific. Maybe some people will know. Maybe someone else had a project like that. But like, I mean, I'm a little younger.
Well, it's like that, Russ. But if they left in all the outtakes of you guys goofing around, too. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, we did leave all those. We thought we were hilarious.
You probably were.
It was probably very. Yeah, it was like me and Matt Munson and Jesse Veer, and you know, like.
Your old friend Matt Munson.
Dorks.
Didn't someone throw a wrench at his head when he was on a trampoline?
Yeah, I think it was you.
Oh, you had weird friends. Instead of a top three.
Oh, I had weird friends. Says the guy who's best friends with fucking Nails.
Nails rules, by the way. Nails. I'm friends with his buddy John, who, by the way, is so obsessed with fucking rock climbing. Did you see? He just set up a fucking rock gym in his backyard. Did you see this?
Oh, I did see that. Yeah, and I saw that he saved two baby birds, and in the picture he's like holding them, and I'm like, the mom's not gonna come back. You know that, right? If you touch the bird.
Yeah, I sent him immediate Community quotes immediately.
Yeah, I'm like, John, have you never seen Community? What are you doing, dude? Yeah.
So instead of a top three, I thought we could compare or pick. How does this rank in the Neil movies we've seen? Human Highway, Greendale. Journey Through the Past. We've never talked about Journey Through the Past on the podcast, but maybe of those three, Human Highway, this, and Greendale, where do you put this one?
Of Human Highway, this, and Greendale, Human Highway is number one. I'd say this would be three.
I think this is three and not in a negative, but I think Greendale's number one. I love Greendale.
I'm not a Greendale fan.
Really?
I think yeah, I'm
I
wasn't
the a fan of the film.
Yeah, I'm not a big Greendale head.
It's fucking Long Grain in Greendale, Russ, man. What the hell's wrong with you?
Yeah, but
you imagine if Long Grain was around for this, his old balls swinging around.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Jesus Christ. Enough with the balls.
I told you Luke was going to see balls in the flames.
I know, right? It's all balls.
I told
Mike's,
you.
Mike's hit his ball limit, apparently.
He hit it, man. He hit his limit.
He's just had enough. All right. I go Greendale, Human Highway, then this. But they're close.
I don't know.
Did you guys see Journey Through the Past? Did you watch that?
I've never watched it.
I love that only for the fact that it really captures that moment in time. That, like, where he was just getting huge. Like, he was just starting to become a huge star.
Is that the one where he's in, like, a hotel and he, like, lights a napkin on fire? Or is that something else?
No, that was Year of the Horse.
Year of the Horse, that's
which
right.
That's one of my favorite documentaries of all time.
Oh, that's great, too.
I love Year of the Horse, yeah.
That's where, with Briggs, right? And he gets all angry and shit.
In Year of the Horse?
Is that the one I'm thinking
he's,
of?
He gets into a super fight with Billy in Year of the Horse.
Oh, with Billy,
they're
okay.
Screaming at each other.
Yeah, I think
so.
That is...
I don't count that. It's like the same reason I don't count Mountaintop, because those are more documentary-esque.
Right,
yeah. I'm talking more where they set out to make like a work of...
Also, should we compare this at all to Dead Man? Because it is kind of soundtrack-y in a way, too.
Well, he does similar stuff.
That's what I mean. Yeah, some of that like guitar stuff is, you know...
Even Dead Man was more cohesive.
Yeah, but the trains and the fucking Western element.
Yes.
You know?
I like this more than this may not have ever happened. I like this more than Dead Man, I'll be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't like Dead Man that much. Eh.
Oh.
It was fine. Dead Man. It was fine.
You're just a big Amber Heard fan, that's why.
Yeah. Go shit on a bed somewhere.
What, did your dog step on a bee, Luke?
What does that mean? I don't get it.
You don't know that one? Come on.
No.
You haven't seen that meme?
Yeah, I'm team Heard. What do you want?
Oh, jeez.
Wait, how come we didn't do a whole episode on the Johnny Depp Amber Heard trial?
Oh, God. I can't believe people were friggin' distracted by that. Two terrible fucking people suing each other.
Yeah, and meanwhile, like, children are getting shot.
Yeah, right?
And no one was talking
seriously.
About it. Or, like, the grocery store shooting where... Literally, right. Like black people were being targeted. And Tristan has a joke about it. It's actually
two awful people, and only awful people were paying close attention to that trial.
Yeah. Oh, so
I'm
everyone.
Sorry. I'm yeah. passing so judgment. Yeah.
Did
I'm
you have to talk judgment. About it on the Pike, Mike?
We mentioned it, like, you know, the shit the bed thing. I had to talk about that.
Yeah, you got
to. Johnny
about
that. Had a
because of Always
good,
Sunny though.
He had a couple of good lines, you know, that we would play every now and then. But when it was finally over, we were just like, "I'm glad this is over because this is just a load of crap."
Yeah.
No pun
nice
intended.
One. Nice one. I liked it.
All right. Well. All right. That's Paradox, and then hopefully we'll have Adam C.K. Volek on to talk about
maybe
this
DH
again.
Maybe DH Love Life.
Yeah, maybe. Knows? Maybe. If after she listens to this, I'm sure she'll definitely be calling us.
I feel like we gave a fair assessment of this.
No, absolutely. I think we're fair in all of the stuff we do. We're not like, you know, I definitely was pretty honest about how I felt about this.
Yeah, I think we all were.
That's that version of Angel flying too close to the ground. I got... that out of this.
I mean that,
and I'll be
that makes it
grateful.
Worth it to me. That's what makes this the best out of all those. Honestly, like, ain't that Angel flying too close to the ground? That not existing. I mean, that existing is better than Human Highway and Greendale.
That's it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
All right. So what's up next? Are we going to tackle tonight's The Night Live at the Roxy? Or are we going to go right on to what is it? The Songs for Judy.
Songs for Judy, right?
Let's talk about it off mic and leave the audience in suspense.
Oh,
really?
Okay.
Keep them wondering.
Well, thanks for listening to Long May You Young. Oh, I do have to mention, we do have a sponsor.
We do?
Through the Pantheon Podcast Network. You guys are going to love this. Boldfoot Socks.
This is real?
They're just amazing socks, 100% American-made socks. Their motto is grown here and sewn here, and 5% of all proceeds from sales of their socks go to veterans' charities. They're family and veteran-owned. And you can go to boldfoot.com and see all the models of different kinds of socks that they have on sale for you to support this good cause. So that's boldfoot.com. Go there and check it out. If you are tired of your socks getting holes in them, these will last a lot longer. So there you go, boldfoot.com.
Boldfoot.com.
Cool.
Are we getting socks from them, Mike? Are you going to send us some socks from them?
No, we're getting money, but I'm keeping all of that.
Can we have some of that money?
No.
I share the Patreon money really with you guys. Money,
that's your problem, sucker.
Damn it.
Did you just call him a soccer?
Oh, there it is.
You better give us some of that sock money, Mike. I'm not come fucking on, around.
Don't hold sock back money. That sock dough.
You better give us some of that goddamn sock money, Mike.
You'll get your fucking sock
well,
money.
Well, we both know why Luke wants those socks. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It's disgusting.
You think I could fit it in a sock? Come on, guys. You know me better than that.
A bold foot sock.
I mean, definitely not a bold foot sock.
We Jeff definitely just lost our
sponsor. Well, we just lost our sponsor, so that's right. Awesome.
Thanks for listening.
You know what, Russ? If we don't start getting money, every sponsor Mike brings to the show, we should sabotage.
Yeah.
Well, we got a full like $30 from the Tiesta T people. Do you want your cut?
Hold on. Yes, you got a full $30 from the Tiesta T people.
Yeah, right. Until they did something terrible.
You better give us a fucking cut of that goddamn sock money, or else I'm gonna fucking go nuts, Mike.
Who's on that sock? Who's on the sock money? Sill.
Stop. Stop. All right, boys. It's gonna be a little sporadic, but our Patreon will still keep doing bonus episodes. But I think we'll be able to keep going. We have a lot of shows and a lot of
pay attention to our social media. We're at Long May You Young on Instagram and Twitter, and we're on our Facebook page. We'll post when we have
I'm really bad at the Instagram stuff. I've got a lot going on, sorry boys.
And so pay attention to that stuff, and also, you know, check out longmayyouyoungpodcast.com. you can listen to episodes that you missed, or if you want to relive some of those magic moments, they're all posted right up there.
You know
all
what right? We should do for a bonus episode, since we've been doing this for 2 years, we should live listen to our first episode.
Oh, Jesus.
It's that like would the, make me, that would make me have the, I would vomit.
I don't think I would like it, but that would be fun.
I would poop in my pants and throw up.
All right, let's all put on a good pair of socks and do that sometime.
I shit in a sock.
Yeah, well, you got the socks. Me and Rusty, Mike, you better give us some fucking socks.
I know, we got nowhere
socks.
To shit, man. We got nowhere to shit because we don't have our...
You better give us some of that goddamn sock money. I'm not fucking around.
I want that sock money shoe.
You think I'm fucking around?
I'm going to send a couple of guys over to your place.
If you think I won't send a couple of Goombas to your fucking door in Worcester, you got. And if I don't get that sock money, you better believe Nails is showing up with a couple of.
You
fucking,
better believe oh Nails.
Yeah,
you know who I'm sending over? Fucking Dan Moshpit, dude.
Dan Moshpit and Nails are coming to your fucking front door if you don't give us that goddamn sock money.
You think he's been? You think he's been quiet? No. I've got him on retainer. He's ready to go, and we need him. He knew. Someday, Shoe's going to withhold that sock money, and I'm going to have to come knocking.
Listen.
Well, knocking and socking, dude.
All right. Thanks for listening.
I'm going to call Stills.
All right. Thanks for listening along, May Young. This might be our last episode if me and Russ don't get any of that goddamn fucking sock money.
Fuck you and your bare feet.
Sock you.
Sock off. All right, see you guys.
James Sokoloff.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's fantasypoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. Fantasypoints.com. Code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.